From now on, only family members and friends will be able to memorialize an account. Previously, anyone could do so.
You're listening to USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290, 800-965-1290.
Former Wyoming Republican gubernatorial candidate Foster Freeze wrote an open letter to Democratic Congresswoman of New York, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, inviting the Democratic Socialist to join him at an evening celebrating individuals who overcame economic adversity. Ocasio-Cortez declined the invite. Freeze tells Fox News what she missed.
It would have been an amazing night for her to see a different perspective that she probably hasn't had in her life experience so far. So the people at the meeting at the Horatio Alger were dynamic, upbeat, positive. The wives were delightful. And if their husbands are psychopaths, they would have left them years ago.
Freeze also explains how he reached out to AOC.
They did acknowledge that they received the invitation, and I believe it's important for us to kind of emphasize the key point of why I did it, and that is there's so much angst over income inequality, but with the American dream, you have to have income inequality. If you go from $800 to how I've been blessed, I did a lot of damage to income equality, but I've been able to do a lot of good things. And you look at some of the people there, Craig Barrett, for example, started very, very low, became the chief executive officer of Intel, and now he is very behind these basis schools, which teach science, technology, mm-hmm. engineering, and math. They're the top five schools in America are basis schools.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for Modern Design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB.
Hey, good afternoon, Hunterdon County. This is your weather report. It is a beautiful 56 degrees outside right now. It is light winds, mostly sunny for the rest of the day with a high near 61. Tonight, partly cloudy, goes into about 35 degrees, so close the windows before you go to bed. Thursday, partly sunny. I like to say mostly sunny. Thank you very much. Mostly sunny with a high near 60. Tomorrow night, a little bit of clouds, light winds around 41 degrees. Here comes the weekend. Friday, slight chance of showers after 3 p.m. and a slight chance of showers before 9 p.m. Why don't they just write slight chance of showers on Friday? It's kind of weird. But it's going to be cloudy with around 55 degrees. Keep your sweaters. Saturday, showers likely before 9 a.m., partly sunny. That's good because that's the day of the max day of giving, but we're going to talk to you about that later. And Saturday night, partly cloudy, low around 52. And Sunday, sorry to say, showers likely after 9 a.m. Don't move. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Good afternoon, Hunterdon County. Shout out to Clinton, New Jersey. This is Max Living, brought to you by the one, the only, the amazing, the stupendous, the fabulous Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. Our phone number is 908-627-7020. That is the phone number that will change your life. I know I say this often. I'm not joking. You need to get healthier. You want to get stronger, more energy, lose weight. I don't care what it is. We can help you with this. That's what we do. Boy, oh boy, we already have people signing on here watching us. We got Holly, we got Kathy, we got Kathy, we got Kim, and we got Lauren from Clinton Max Challenge. Hey, Lauren. And you know what? I'm going to give a quick shout out to Team Clinton while we're here before I get rolling. Like, boy, oh boy, we got such a special show for you today. It's not even going to be funny. It's going to be great. Shout out to Team Clinton. Since she's watching now, we have Ron and Lauren Adelstein, the driving forces behind the Max Challenge of Clinton. We got Jillian, we got Sarah, we got Scotty, we got Kim, we got Terry, and we have Christine, and then coaches, and there's Nicole and Tracy and Stephanie. Oh my God, Amy's watching. Hey Amy, how you doing? Listen, fantastic show. I am not kidding. This show could be life-altering for you. I'm not joking, for my guest today, too. And I'm going to tell you in a little while here. So, hey, Stephanie, I see you. So, real quick, this Saturday, here it is. We're just days away. Speaking of days away, I have about 236 hours until I get married. So, I have to give a shout-out to my beautiful fiance, Susan. Love you, whether you're watching or not. I don't know. And Mary's here, too. Awesome. Ron's watching. Boom! What's up, Ron? I get enthusiastic, June. You'll get used to it in a few minutes. It's okay. You're not on yet, so you can say whatever you want and get away with it. So listen, Team Clinton, we are here to not – we're not here to grow a business. We are here to change lives, save lives in Clinton and the Clinton area in Hunterdon County. We are on a mission. Hey, Stacy. We are on a mission. We are on a mission to help you, to help your family members, to help your children. I don't care who it is. We all are in a business 24 hours a day of wanting to live longer and better lives. Every single one of us. That's what we're here for. Okay, so 6 minutes to go. We're rolling it down. So let me talk about this. The Max Day of Giving, finally here this Saturday, starting at 1:30 p.m. at the beautiful Red Mill Museum. Paul has donated the use of the grounds to the Max Challenge. This is our first day of giving. You know, what's the day of giving, Mark? I'm glad you asked. What it is every year, all the Max Challenges across the country come together, and every center will raise money. They'll have events and raise money for a charity of their choice. Ours is Prevention Resources, formerly Hunterdon Prevention Resources. Okay, Angela's watching, Stacy's watching, Carrie's watching. Boom! I love it when people sign on. Listen, ours is Prevention Resources. They help families. They help children, families in crisis, families with opioid addictions, alcohol problems, anger management. There's so much that goes into this. And every single, you know how you get those charities where sometimes you're donating a check and you're sending out $100 and you don't know what happens to it? I'm going to tell you what's going to happen to your money. Every single red penny is being donated to Prevention Resources. We're not keeping a dime. The staff is volunteering. Members are volunteering. This is the real stuff. And you know what the great thing is, folks? These are your neighbors. These are your neighbors. We're going to talk about this in a little while, June and I here. We're going to talk about this. These are your neighbors that need help, and Prevention Resources can help them. Marjorie's watching. Good job, Marjorie. I don't have my burpees hat on, Marjorie. Sorry. She gave me this burpees hat. It says 99% chance of burpees. Not today. So anyway, I am here with a very, very special guest, and we have about 4 minutes or so before we're going to go for a hard break. I'm going to turn your microphone on so I can introduce you and you can say hi to everybody. I am here with what I would consider an amazing human being with a heart of gold. If your heart got any bigger, we'd have to go into the other room. I think that's the way to look at this. You probably know her as Chef June from Chef's Table in Clinton on East Main Street. And we have a lot to talk about. We're not just going to be talking about food. That'll come up. We're not going to be just talking about cooking. We're going to be talking about children. We're going to be talking about family. We're going to be talking about serious issues with drug addictions in our community. This is the show to listen to and watch. So with that kind of an introduction, I need you to say hello, June. Thank you for coming. Thank you.
Hi, Mark. How are you? Hello to all of Hunterdon County as well as Clinton. Hi, everybody.
Fantastic. And so before I even go any further, the people who are watching live on Facebook right now, I got you pulled up here. Hey, Michelle, I got you pulled up here. If you want to interact with us, we'll be able to see it here. So if you have a question for June, if you have a comment, a story to share, type it into the comments below, okay? And we'll see if we can get to it, but this is an interactive broadcast. So, June, good to see you.
Good to see you, Mark.
We had coffee before. Well,
yes.
You had water, I had tea. There's going to be people right now going, what do you mean he had tea? This is a coffee, dude. Excuse me, one second. Just getting over this. I hate this thing. So I'm going to take a sip of water. Right now, Ron is thinking to himself, why the hell doesn't he have a Max Challenge water bottle? Anyway, June, couple minutes here. How long has Chef Table been in Clinton? How long have you been open?
It's almost 3 years now that I'm there on 10 East Main Street.
Excuse me.
Little shy of 3 years.
Okay. And obviously, in case you haven't heard and you can't figure it out, this is a wonderful family Italian restaurant.
Italian restaurant.
You know what I meant to ask you when we were having beverages before? Do you have a favorite thing to cook?
Yes, for me, I love cooking eggplant. It's one of my favorite dishes.
Oh, my God. Awesome.
I love eggplant. I do it several different ways.
That's fantastic. We just, Susan and I just did our menu, and we're getting married over at the Harvest Moon in Ringo's. I don't know if you've been there. And we just added eggplant parmesan to it.
Congrats.
So we'll have to see. So we'll do a taste comparison. We're going to come sit by you, and then we'll try that there, too.
Terrific.
So that's your favorite thing to cook.
I love eggplant, yes.
Now, I am not Italian, but I can make a pretty good... Now, are you a gravy or a sauce person?
It's gravy.
It's gravy, okay.
I respect the sauces out there, though, but okay. It's definitely gravy for me.
All right. I can make a pretty good homemade gravy. I learned from a friend of mine, Chrissy, who was who's a Sicilian, and I'll never forget it. It was a long time ago, and she had this thing at her house, and she was cooking a huge pot of gravy because it was when the Sopranos was on, and she was having a Sopranos party the next day, and I took notes and I watched, and then I just did it from there.
Were the Brajols in there?
No. Oh, Carly. Hey, Carly saying, had a great dinner over at Chef's Table on Saturday night. Good
Thank
deal.
You.
Yeah, we need to support local businesses too. That's the other thing here.
Thank you.
June, we're going to be right back. I'm going to do a hard break, and then we're really going to talk to each other, and I want to hear your story. Everybody wants to hear your story, okay?
Terrific.
So hang tight right there. This is Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey. We are at 1802 Route 31 in beautiful Clinton. That's Route 31 North, 908-627-7020. Oh, Marjorie says here, love June's meatballs. I love that. Awesome. Listen, we're going to take a hard break. I don't care where you are. Pull over on the side of the road, okay? If you're listening and you need to pay attention some more, you pull over on the side of the road. Go find a parking space and listen to us, all right? We'll be right back. Don't move.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com. Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to...
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908 908- 713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody out there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you!
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back. I'm dispensing with the pleasantries because we have so much to talk about today, June and I. Just to give a shout out, there's Michelle, there's Leah, there's Eileen, there's Kathy. Oh my goodness, there's so many people watching. Invite people to watch right now. I'm serious. You're watching on Facebook. I need you to get on Private Messenger right now, and I want you to find some friends, and I want you to say, hey, you need to tune in on Facebook at the Max Challenge of Clinton's page and watch us and listen to us because this is going to be a great message here. Okay? So, June, I had a, you know, we're just going to talk, you and I, we talked about this earlier, becoming a chef. I wrote down, basically, you went to the school of Grandma's Kitchen, is basically how it was, right?
I guess we can say that, yeah.
Yeah. Tell me how you found this love.
So, ever since I was a little girl, probably the ripe age of 5, I grew up in Brooklyn, Bensonhurst, Brooklyn.
Nice.
And I can remember going downstairs in my grandmother's house. We lived upstairs in the upstairs apartment, and I always smelled her food.
Yeah.
And I would go down and my nanny would say, hey, you want to help me roll meatballs? Or do you want to fry the cutlets? Let's make some gravy today. Mm-hmm. Whatever the case was. And I began my cooking and my passion for cooking, little did I know, in my grandmother's kitchen, as well as my parents. My father was also a very huge instrument in helping me in cooking and the creativity and the passion that I now have today.
Really? That's something. That's another thing we share. I mean, I don't cook often. My mom was German, God rest her. There's not a whole lot of the original German things I can cook, but there's some things. Remember open face grilled cheese sandwiches? Did you do that?
Oh, absolutely.
You put them in the broiler?
Sure.
Oh, geez, with a slice of tomato.
And the American
on top.
Cheese would get the little black on
little
top.
Bubbly.
That's right.
It's the best part. Best part. Boom.
So then thereafter, what happened was my brother got sick at the age of 8, and he had cancer. Passed away at 12, and I now became the cook in the family. And I was cooking and doing things for mom and dad, trying to help out there, watching my mom grieve. And cooking became a way to express love to my parents in their moment. So that was the very beginning stages of my cooking.
Yeah. Too many times I think people look at cooking. Hey, Greg. Your husband's watching.
Oh,
he's commenting here. Yes. He says, that's my wife. I love her cooking. That's
aww,
awesome.
Hi, honey. Love you too.
That's awesome. Mm. Love it. Love is all around. But too many people look at cooking as a chore and not this passion and a show of affection and, you know, the way people express love. Some people get flowers. You know, some people make marinara.
Well, yeah. I think for me, watching my mom grieve so heavily, being a child, not knowing what to do with my emotions. What do I do with my feelings? I lost my brother, right? Yeah. And here's my parents who are in deep mourning as well. For me, it was cooking, and that was, hey, mom, look what I made you. And that was the way I could show her love and help her to feel better. And my parents always, no matter what they were going through, had us at their dinner table. Every single night, no matter what, we all ate together as a family, my sister Nancy, me, mom, and dad.
Nice.
And no matter what took place, it was always around that table.
Nice.
And, cooking certainly is an expression of love.
And this is part of your mission with your restaurant, Chef's Table,
yes,
is to bring families back to the table. Do you make them leave their cell phones at the front in a basket or anything?
Like I don't make them, but I sure would like to make them
bet.
Do that. I watch a lot of families. Some just sit on their phone the whole time. Yeah. Others don't. I really feel that in that moment that we're sitting and enjoying a meal, that you should be very present in your life, present with your husband, your child. After all I've been through, and I know we're going to touch that later on, we only have this moment. Yeah. Why not enjoy it? Look at each other. Yeah. Look at your child. Enjoy that meal. It all happens around the table. So bringing families back to the table is huge for me, because today I think we've lost that due to the fact of social media,
sure.
cell phones, computers. Everyone's always on their devices.
Yeah.
Nobody sits and has a meal together any longer.
And talks.
Exactly. Just so bringing talks. Families back to the table really is all our roots. If mm-hmm. you can remember when you were younger, mm-hmm. were you not always at the table with mom and dad?
Sure.
Were those not your fondest memories, food memories, right?
Yep.
So we live in a generation today where we now need to really show by example that the family table over a meal is the way and the only way to keep the family unit alive, because we're losing it.
Yeah.
We're losing it at a rapid pace. Everyone's going every which way.
By example. Those are key words right there. By example, not just telling people, hey, we need to be a family, but demonstrating it, you know, taking the lead.
Absolutely.
Taking the lead in that sense. I'm just going to give a quick shout out here, but we got people watching us today, June. Jennifer's watching. Tracy's watching. Todd. Hey, Todd. Melody. Laura. Love it. Oh, man. People are chiming in here, too. We're going to talk a little bit about the Max Day of Giving later on, and especially because this does tie in. And the reason it does tie in, and I think we're just going to jump right in. Let's just get right to the heart
sure.
of things here, okay? Because if we could talk for 2 hours, I would say, you know, let's talk some more about food. But people are getting hungry, they said, talking about this. So are you open tonight?
Yes, I open at 5:30 this evening. Come on in.
5:30.
We have buy one, get one half this evening.
Jennifer, see that? Because Jennifer's like, it's getting me hungry. Just make sure it's Max compliant, Jen. Wink, wink.
I can
All
do
right?
that.
Yeah. So part of what your passion is and your expression of love kind of came full circle from what I'm understanding your story. So, you know, you lost your brother at a very young age of 12. Your grief and your love, and they go hand in hand. You know, the greater the love, the greater the grief. That's a fact of life. So they go hand in hand. So your expression of grief and love came in through this cooking for your family. And then this came around again just a few years ago also with Gregory. So please just share your heart, because I know you're good at this, and that's one of the reasons God has you here, I think. So
thank you. I lost my son Gregory to a drug overdose October 11th. It's 7 years now. And me and my mother now walk the same journey, where we both lost our sons. My 21-year-old son is buried with my 12-year-old brother. So let me just get to the moment, because that's really what was pivotal in my life. We all have pivotal moments in our life that's either going to make us or break us. So when I got the news that my son passed away, face down on the floor, all I could remember was screaming out to God to numb me. Numb me. How do I survive this? How do I live? How do I breathe?
Yeah.
My son is no longer on this earth. When you lose a child, you ache in a way that there's truly no words for. Your soul hurts. Your womb hurts. It's a pain that I can't describe unless you walk it. Child loss is huge. It's probably one of the greatest loss. While we all suffer, when you see your child in a coffin, I would not wish that on anybody. It's truly heart-wrenching. So in that moment, getting back to the cooking aspect of it, I knew that the grief was either going to make me or break me. Sadly, no one can help you through this. You get the love, you get the encouragement, you get the hugs, which definitely push you along. But it's up to you to drive this vehicle of grief. My son and I often cook together. We're always cooking, no matter what we did in that kitchen. Mm-hmm. Gregory always had the fork in his hand, turning the cutlets, making gravy. I remember once on a Sunday, I was so sick. I had my swollen glands, and there's Gregory in the kitchen. He made Sunday gravy just like me, and he often said, hey, Mom, when are we going to open a restaurant together?
Mm-hmm.
Well, when Gregory passed away, it was in that moment that I realized now is the moment to live for him, through him, because of him. And to honor that memory, as well as the memories of my family, what got me through grief as a young child and now as a mother, what is going to help me? How am I possibly going to live without my son here?
Yeah.
So I opened a restaurant in my home.
Nice.
It was called the Dining Club, really. Mm-hmm. It was open on Fridays and Saturdays, and I began that cooking journey. And I cooked many of his favorite things. His favorite dish is mussels Bianco, which is on my menu each and every week.
Nice.
It's probably ordered quite a bit.
Nice. Nice.
Little do people know that that's my son's favorite dish. And I smile every time it goes out of the kitchen and I cook it.
That's awesome.
And so cooking my way through grief as a labor of love has been something I've been doing since I'm a child.
Yeah.
And there is hope. There is life. There's love. There's so many things that grief has taught me. If you allow it, because it can also debilitate you.
Absolutely.
It can also freeze you in that moment where you no longer want to live or where you can't function, you know, in everyday life. I found that passion through him, with him, and I decided to use it and live it. And many people who come to the restaurant, whether they know it or not, have said to me, Chef June, I feel a lot of love here. And I really believe that that foundation of family, of my parents, of loss, of grief, of hope, of love, faith, religion, God, these are all the avenues that one must draw up out of that core in order to keep moving forward and living. We all have it. We just need to tap into it.
Yeah. You don't find those things at a fast food restaurant. That's
absolutely
for damn
not.
Sure. I want to touch a little bit on a sensitive part of Gregory's story. When we spoke yesterday, we talked a little bit about his addiction and how it came about. And one of the reasons that I really want to bring this up is for people who are watching, people who are listening. And we talked about this briefly. It's always somebody else. It's always somebody else's kids or kid. It's always somebody else's mom or dad. It's somebody else's family that's affected by this. And we all think that until, unfortunately, if it does happen to us, and God willing, it happens to nobody that's watching or listening. But can you share a little bit about the small way that this road started for him that brought him to this?
Sure.
To his passing.
Sure. You know, drug addiction happens for many, many reasons. It can happen to you or I. I can have surgery, and perhaps the doctor gives me a few scripts of Vicodin. Next thing you know, I'm addicted, you know, and now you need that that fix.
Yeah.
It can happen, if you had the bad peer pressure, if you're hanging out with the wrong crowd. For my son, he went through a very challenging time in his life. He began becoming more and more depressed. He had a lot of sorrow. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of broken heart. His heart was broken. And he went to the doctor, and the doctor prescribed Xanax.
Mm-hmm.
And Gregory took a little bit each day to feel a little better and to take the edge off of his depression.
And that's the thing. That was the thing that surprised me. Because people get Xanax like you're getting candy.
Exactly.
And the doctors will just kind of give it to you. And
exactly.
People think nothing of it. Well, it's a Xanax. It's no big deal.
But it is a big deal.
That's where it starts, though.
And I guess his friends and him, they taught him how. I had no clue about any of this. They taught him how to snort it. Mm-hmm. So they would crush it in a pill crusher, and he snorted the Xanax, and that led to another drug. And I guess what it did was numb him, and he no longer had to feel, because that's what drugs do. They numb you.
Sure.
And he went to his friend's birthday party, October 9, 2011. It was in the Tropicana Hotel. And it was his friend's birthday party, and they went dancing, and I guess they drank, and it was the Xanax that stopped his heart. It was the Xanax with alcohol that stopped his heart. And one of his friends called my daughter and told my daughter he didn't make it. And my daughter said, "What do you mean he didn't make it? What are you talking about, Melissa?" And he said, "Your brother's dead." I didn't know this at that minute, obviously, and my daughter called my husband, and I had Sunday gravy dinner on the table. I made his favorite meatball stuffed with mozzarella. That was his favorite thing, too. And my daughter called my husband and said to my husband, Gregory passed away. Don't tell Mommy. Because I'm inseparable with my son. We're clones.
Yeah.
He was my life, my heart, as any mother can possibly say. So my husband says, Gregory was in a car accident. We have to drive to Atlantic City and go visit him. So I ran up the steps. I about-faced and ran down because I wanted to ask him a question. And I heard my husband saying, "What do you mean he's dead?"
Yeah.
He was on the phone with one of his friends.
Yeah.
And it was in that moment that I heard him say, "My son was dead." I ran to the front of the house. I put my hands up to God. And I prayed for one thing. I screamed out the wails that come out of you when you lose a child, there's no words for. I prayed for one thing, just numb me. just numb me so I can get through this. And he did. Mm. And we drove the 3 hours, and I identified my son. And we buried him, and after that, I knew I wasn't going to make it. I said, something. I looked at my husband, and I said, I'm not going to be able to survive this.
Yeah.
There's no way. And it has nothing to do with having other children. It has nothing to do with having family members. It's an indescribable pain, and it's a moment of awakening all at the same time. Mm. It truly is. Because while I'm grieving that I want to die from the pain of losing my son, it was in that moment that the light came. And it was in that moment that I said, no, I have to live double now. I have to live for him. I have to live because of him. I have to live better for myself. Tomorrow I can be gone.
Yeah.
What am I going to do with today? And that's when my hope started to come back.
Mm-hmm. How long from, if you know, from the first prescription to his passing, how much time was there in between?
It wasn't much. Gregory probably started a year before he passed away, 1 year. And yes, it led to Xanax, Tamales. Mm-hmm. I don't know what else they call them. I think they call them Mollies. Mm-hmm. And it was just one short year. The partying, you know, began, and he kept going. And I'll never forget him coming to me and saying, Mom. And he bowed his head right here, right in my chest. And he said, Mom, please help me. Please help me, Mom. And we did. We took him to Parallax Detox in Manhattan. And I tried to get my son back. And all they did was prescribe more and more pills. So it's a vicious circle, drug addiction. Yeah. It's truly a vicious circle. Of course, today I have many thoughts on how to help the young ones. I don't feel that pills help someone on pills.
Yeah.
It's a road that's it's a road that is not paved for us. It's very hard for us to understand as well. We really need to not judge, because it can happen to any family.
Yeah.
Never say not me, as you were saying earlier. It knows no race, no creed, no nationality. Drug addiction has taken many
of
our children.
Yeah.
4 of my son's friends have died in the past 7 years from overdose.
Wow.
On my Facebook page were 70 parents who lost children, mostly to overdose. It is such an epidemic. It's scary. I'm very happy about what's going on here at the Red Mill this coming Saturday with the drug prevention, with supporting it, with donating to it. We really need to help our children. It's truly an epidemic.
And it seems like there's no... Here's my thoughts on this, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm learning from you as we're talking also, and as we started talking yesterday. People generally have this idea of a teenager that has a drug problem, of looking a particular way, acting a particular way, telltale signs that there might be. But that's not always the case. Sometimes it's kind of hidden, and they're very functional. And you may not even know something's wrong. You're telling me your son came to you and asked for help. That doesn't happen in a lot of cases, does it?
Hey. No, because at first I didn't know. I really didn't. We were going about our life, sure. Husband going to work, me doing my thing. I didn't know until some behavioral patterns started to change. And, that's when I saw certain things, and I started to ask the questions. And we always had a very open family, very honest, where
sure.
We can talk to one another, which is also key in having your child come to you. We don't think of it. We don't see it unless, they come to you and they tell you or you ask.
Yeah.
It can be hidden. I can be on drugs right now. Would you know it?
Yeah.
It's really that simple, honestly. So we really have to look, open our eyes, be in tune, feel the energy from our child. You as a parent knows your kid. I knew to ask. I knew something was up. I watched certain things. So, yeah. So sometimes you don't know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I wrote down the word prevention, trying to prevent this from happening. You seem to be kind of like we talked earlier. You're kind of on this mission from God on this. I feel like you have been placed in certain places, and like I said earlier, one of our members had met you recently and said you are an angel sent from heaven because you have this passion and this commitment and this love and dedication to this, not just this message. It's not just one message here. You seem to have so many things put together on this. So, you know, we have the clock ticking here. Talk to moms and dads. Talk to moms and dads when you're talking about preventing this. What would you tell moms now?
I would tell moms, parents, families, young ones, siblings, brothers, sisters, if you see something, say something. A lot of times I've heard many of my son's friends say, my sister knew or my brother knew. Hmm. Well, you should tell mom then. You're not protecting them by not telling them. And as far as the parents are concerned, put the phones down. Sit every night with the family. I don't care if it's for 20 minutes. In those 20 minutes, you will pick up things as a parent that you need to pick up. Look at your children. Look at them in their eyes. Talk to them. Mm-hmm. Have no devices around.
Yeah.
We, the parents, are the ones who have to set the example. We're the ones who have to find these things out, mm-hmm. these truths about our children. Don't turn a blind eye. Some parents know and don't want to deal with it. Mm. And then when they're gone, there's no getting them back.
Right.
So, yeah, we have to be very in tune to it as parents. And we have to, again, that dinner table, I'm an advocate of that. That's where you know your family.
Yeah.
Husband, wife, your children, sit there, talk, communicate, listen. A lot of times a child may say something that you can pick up on. Mm-hmm. You know, my friends went partying this weekend, and I don't party, but they got high, and they're doing this. Or my friend is smoking pot. That's not a drug. You know, these are the things you got to listen to.
Sure.
If he's speaking it, is he doing it?
Right.
Is he doing it? You know, look at their devices, monitor them, see what games they're playing, video games, violent things, things that can cause them to become depressed, maybe, withdrawn from the family. Those are signs as well.
Sure.
So parents need to be in tune. Also, the doctors. The doctors are very quick with writing scripts.
Yeah.
Your child's sick, be careful what they prescribe to them.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing what I know today, my son would have never went on that.
Yeah.
Because it can't, being in a young person's hands, they don't know how to deal with it and handle it as well. So there's many avenues that we can do as parents, but it's really up to us to watch our children, to pay attention, to extend love, to sit with them, and to know them.
Part of the thing with social media that you had mentioned earlier is this isolation. We talked about this briefly. Part of the reason that people will turn to drugs or alcohol or other vices is they feel alone. They have these feelings inside, and they feel incorrectly. Nobody can understand how I feel. I'm like one of the things, and I've said this to many people, one of the things about human beings is that the way we're feeling now is the way we think we're going to feel forever.
That's true.
That's really what it comes down to. And young people, and you know, when you were saying about having drugs in the hands of a child, your son was 21. So this happened after he was 18 years old. We're not talking somebody who was 14 or 15, which is happening now. So they have very little life experience to know that things will change. This will get better. People do understand how you feel. You just need to kind of reach out to that. So one of the things, we talked about also was, and thank you to Lauren for pointing this out, is on Saturday, Prevention Resources, who is our main charity, is going to have some workshops, because it's not just about, I feel down, so here's a Xanax. It's about other things that can be going on that affect our kids these days that, for lack of a better term, drives them towards drugs or alcohol. So we have workshops going on, such as conflict resolution, dealing with peer pressure, making decisions, effects of bullying.
It's huge, bullying. Very huge.
It is huge. And that's something that I just think that, you know, moms and dads watching, don't just say it's just kids being kids, because we see it all the time on the news, what happens here. So as a mom, And Greg's chiming in here, by the way. He says that you're definitely from heaven, by the way. I had to read that. So you have a very loving
too
husband here.
Too sweet of a man.
Yeah, and that you have a heart of gold here, too. So, Aww. You know, and I'm a romantic, so if your husband's saying something, I'm going to read it, Greg, whatever you put here, so be careful. So as a mom, you're dealing with this loss, this indescribable moment in your life. The way that you've channeled this, you're helping other moms now too. You're helping other moms. Can you talk about how you do that? And it's kind of a side effect of it in that sense too. But you know, you're definitely helping people. Please speak to that too. The Facebook groups, the way people talk to you, the way they open up to you, and the way you open up to them.
I became a voice after Gregory passed away, right on my own very personal Facebook page. And in my post, many would come on. And it's sad to say that within the last 7 years, there's so many more moms who've lost their children. And I'm on groups such as Grieving Mothers. I'm on Margaret Alexander's group, who deals with drug addiction and overdose. Margaret does a lovely job in posting our children and remembering them on their birthday 365 days a year. So each day, another child or the children of that month who overdosed, she honors. My son is on that page as well. And July 26th, his birthday, she makes sure she posts him and discusses him and talks about his legacy. So Margaret Alexander is huge. Also Helen Davis, there's a page there, heroin overdose as well. And these are all the pages. You're Not Alone, Grieving Mothers. These are all the pages where we all interact. As far as I'm concerned, I picked myself up and I made sure every day that I live, that I get out very early on after he died. And I would post that. You know, today I put on my lipstick, something as simple as that. You know, you may laugh, you may giggle, but believe it or not, it takes effort right after you bury a child to just do something like that. And I would say, today I put on my lipstick. Ladies, put your lipstick on. Parents, get out. I don't care if you go to Macy's. I don't care if you go to McDonald's. Get out and continue on your routine. So for me, my routine is very, very important. Prayer is huge for me. Before my feet hit the ground in the morning, I spend time with God. I spend about 10 or 15 minutes in prayer, not just praying for myself, but for praying for this world as well and all those who are suffering. I'm a firm believer in the power of prayer because it's helped me in my own life. It's given me peace many a times when I didn't have it. So I'm out there speaking with moms, a lot of private messaging. I have people who've reached out to me. June, I heard you lost your son. I lost my daughter last week. Help me. June, I lost my son. Help me. And I immediately just start chatting with them. And their first moments, we all sound the same. I want to die. I. How do you do it? How do you do it? And I ask that question each and every day. How do you do it? First thing I do is acknowledge their feelings and what they're feeling because it's real. Yeah. And that's all we want. We want to be acknowledged for what we feel.
100%.
And we're also afraid that you're going to forget our child. We want their name spoken.
Sure.
I want Gregory's name spoken. And that's a thing that we all talk about as mothers. I have an angel dinner each and every year. It's called Angel Moms. I did it last month. We bring the pictures of our child. We talk. We remember them. We also share what's gotten us through. Who's at 6 months? Who's at 3 years? Who's at 7 years? Who's at 10 years? And we share a lot of joys. We're a group of parents who support one another. And anytime there's another child who's gone, we immediately reach out to that child, or I'll post and I'll say, "Moms," and we have everyone connect with them so that they're not alone and so that they don't turn to something or so that they don't lose despair or hope. And my restaurant is definitely the foundation to that. I've met many, many people in my restaurant who've come to me and who've told me their story, and I've shared my story several times. And where we sit, again, over that dish, you know, talking about hope.
Yeah. Okay.
And grief and how there is life afterwards.
Are you the person in the restaurant that does most of the cooking?
Yes.
So I see you leaving the kitchen very often and sitting down or standing next to customers. That's awesome.
I do. I run out of the kitchen quite often. My guests are very important to me. I love people, and I love getting out, giving them a hug, and just seeing what's in their dish. Is it good? Yeah. Do you like it? Can I change it? You know, whatever. getting to know them on a personal level is very important to me.
Awesome. Listen, we're going to take a quick hard break, okay? Thank you for sharing your heart. We'll talk a little bit more in a little bit. This is Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge at Clinton, New Jersey. Don't move. We're going to continue this conversation. Be right back.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Regional Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt and Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt and Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
And we're back. This is Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton. I'm here with Chef June from Chef's Table in Clinton. 10, what's the address?
10 East Main
Street. 10 East Main Street. I knew it was East Main. So just before we go on, we only have a few minutes left. Shout out to, we got Nicole and Gabrielle and Kristen, Kayla, Christina, Kathy. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for joining us. So while we were off the air, we were discussing what do we talk about next? And you said something that really just touched my heart just now, and that is that every mother wants their son's, their child's name spoken and remembered. Tell me about Gregory. What was, did he have a favorite sports team, favorite music band? What did he like to cook with you when you were in the kitchen together? Tell us about him.
Gregory was a joy from the moment I gave birth to him. He was always so energetic. Love you. Love you, Mom. Always kissing you. Gregory loved sports. He played football for Tottenville High School.
Oh, wow.
He was center, and he did an amazing job. Big kid, 6'2". Looks just like my father. Many people who see Gregory will always say, he looks just like your dad.
Nice.
Always happy, loved people, loved life. If he was here right now, I know him like a book. His arm would be around you, Mark, and he'd say, hey, Mark, what are we eating? You want to go get a sandwich? What do you want to do? Nah, never mind. Me and my mom will cook for you. That was his contagious personality.
Nice.
Gregory loved life. Gregory did not want to die.
Yeah.
I know Gregory wanted to live and be here. He got caught up in something that I know he wouldn't have had. He had the right moment to help him. But with all that being said, speaking of him, let's say on the positive note, Gregory did play sports. Gregory loved fishing. He used to go fishing with my father. We had a house in the Poconos in Lake Naomi.
Oh,
and
nice.
He was always catching fish, cooking them. And then my fondest memory of my son was in Aruba I used to take them to Aruba every December since they were 5 years old.
Oh, wow.
Aruba's like my second home.
Nice.
And he went fishing with my father 5 o'clock in the morning, one morning, and they caught a massive tuna. And we've got pictures of him, you know, holding the tuna. And yeah, we cooked tuna, I think, 5,000 different ways. No exaggeration. We were cooking tuna for days. We were giving it out on the beach. We were overdosing on tuna. It was so delicious. And he was so proud. And all his Gregory used to say to me is, I love the ground. I love the earth. I love the... He just had a love of the environment, people. We had... another memory, cicada bugs in Staten Island. I don't know if you know how big those guys are.
I do, yeah.
And I remember we got out of the car and I was walking in and there was like 10 around the doorway. And I started to scream, look at all those bugs. And he went and took one off one at a time, so gentle.
Get out.
And put them on his arm so that I can get through the front door.
Yeah.
The point, this is the kind of kid he was.
Yeah.
He loved everything, nature. Everything that God made on this earth, he loved his family. He loved and adored his sister. Nice. Him and Melissa were inseparable.
Nice.
The two of them, when you're in a room with Gregory and Melissa, you can't help but laugh. You're on the floor constantly laughing.
Yeah.
The two of them had a relationship like I've never seen. My daughter aches for her brother as well.
Yeah.
He got to meet Carlina, who was my granddaughter as well, and he loved her. I'll never forget when Melissa came home from the hospital with the baby, and he picked her up, and he held her, and he said, Mom, I can't wait to be a father. Mm. I want 4 kids.
Wow.
I'm going to pause right there.
Yeah.
He'll never be a father. Mm. He'll never have children. My son will never be here for another holiday, dinner. Those of you who are listening out there, go home today. Hug and kiss your child. Tomorrow is promised to no one.
Yeah.
Cherish every moment you have. Don't sweat the small stuff. They're young. They're going to do things. Forgive them. Move on. Mm-hmm. Hug them and hold them. Don't get aggravated. If I can go back in time, when they spilled the cup on the floor, mm-hmm, I wouldn't have yelled. Knowing what I know today, right? Everything is hindsight today, right?
Yeah.
So...
It's
2020. That's right. So I'm a little emotional right now when I speak of Gregory, but I thank you very much for allowing me to share who he was. He was a beautiful soul.
Before we close out, because we're going to talk very quickly about this weekend, the work that Prevention Resources does is amazing work, not just for preventing drug addictions, but helping families right now in crisis. I made a note here when we were talking earlier that Gregory's passing helped you to learn how to live. And in 90 seconds, sorry to do that.
It's okay.
What does that phrase, learn to live, mean to you today?
Well, when Gregory died, I realized that I was not living present in my own life. I realized that I had to do something. I realized that I had to get out there and be more involved. And, of course, the way I do it is by getting my story out there and also within my restaurant. But for me, being present in my life, sitting, looking at a person, enjoying who they are, something that simple that I wasn't doing because we're always so rushed. We got to go. We're looking at our phone. We have to do this. We need to stop, look at each other, enjoy one another's company, put the devices away. We need to get very still, hear what each other is saying. Don't push it over. There's a lot of truth when people speak. We must listen to their truth. We all have a story. We all can learn from each other. We all suffer from loss. Please listen and be there for each other. Take a minute, get still, relax and look at each other. We're all related. We're one big family, all of us, mm-hmm, and we need to be there for each other.
You know, I managed to hold it together for the most of this show, and I'll tell you what just got to me was your husband.
Oh, what did he do?
He said, and this is why I'm sitting here sniffling, which is not good when I'm getting over a cold too. Gregory wrote, your son is smiling right now. And when I read that, I was just that just pulled at me right there. So
living my way through grief is an honor of Gregory, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do feel Gregory is smiling.
I'm sure every meal you serve, every customer you hug? Because I bet you do.
I do.
I bet you do.
I make sure of it. Even the non-huggers get a hug.
Oh, yeah. And then they squirm a little bit. Don't you love that?
Then they love me.
Then that's it. Listen, I'm just going to take a quick few seconds here before we sign off. This Saturday, 1:30 p.m., at the Red Mill Museum grounds, the Max Day of Giving, we are giving every cent to prevention resources that help families in crisis, families that need guidance, an ear to talk to. Gregory says he loves you.
I love you too, Greg. We've both been through a lot.
There you go. So please come and support us. Come and support this worthy cause. If you have questions, you can always reach out to Chef June.
I will
June.
Be there. I will be donating as well.
Yep.
Yes.
This is a community effort.
Absolutely.
This is a charity that helps your neighbors and your neighbors' kids. Such an honor. Such a good time being here with you.
Thank you.
Thank you for opening your heart, sharing your heart, and just giving of yourself to each person watching, listening to the community, to all the other families. So God bless you.
My love to all. Thank you.
So I'm going to dispense with my usual sign-off. This has been Max Living, brought to you by the Max Challenge of Clinton, New Jersey, 908-627-7020. Jennifer sending hugs. Mary saying thank you and for living your way through grief. There's just so many things here. We have to run. We'll be back next Wednesday, same time, 1 p.m. Come out Saturday, 1:30 p.m. to 5 p.m. at the Red Mill Museum. Live your life on purpose. Take care.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Attorney General Bill Barr at a Senate hearing drops a bombshell regarding the Obama administration and the 2016 Trump campaign.
I think there's spying did occur. Yes, I think spying did occur.
Barr says he's looking into whether the FBI and other agencies were surveilling the 2016 Trump campaign.
Congress is usually very concerned about intelligence agencies and law enforcement agencies staying in their proper lane, and I want to make sure that happened. We have a lot of rules about that.
President Trump again insisting he can't release his tax returns.
No, there is no law. As you know, I got elected last time with the same issue. And while I'm under audit, I won't do it. If I'm not under audit, I would do it. I had no problem with it.
President Trump talking to reporters as he left the White House en route to Texas. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Wade Allen Root for Tangible Investments. Tangible's CEO has been quoted on the front page of the Wall Street Journal, interviewed on CNBC, and featured in Fortune magazine. He's been warning about a volatile and unpredictable stock market for months. The Dow is down 4,000 points since the peak. The Russell 2000 down more than 20%. In 2008, the market fell 55%, more than half your net worth wiped out. You need asset protection now. If you're a qualified client who has ever bought gold or silver before, and you have the receipts to prove it, Tangible Investments will give you a free fractional American Gold Eagle with a retail value of $199. Tangible will prove after you deal with Tangible Investments, you'll never buy from anyone else ever again. Call now to find out if you qualify for your $199 gold gift free. Call Tangible Investments at 800-780-9000. That's 800-780-9000. Tangible has done billions of dollars in transactions and can show you how to protect your assets. Call 800-780-9000 and go for your free $199 coin.
Military leaders and the Taliban are continuing peace talks, as we hear from USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
As the nation mourns the loss of three soldiers in Afghanistan earlier this week in a roadside bombing that the Taliban's claimed responsibility for, the head of the Pentagon says the United States is sitting down with the Taliban leaders to try to further peace talks, to try to end the war. Acting Defense Chief Patrick Shanahan says,
"What you see are the casualties of war. In parallel, there is a peace negotiation process, and probably the best possibility for peace in 40 years is at hand."
Shanahan was speaking there on Fox News. A Jeopardy contestant is taking home some big bucks after a huge win on the show Tuesday night. James Holzhauer won over $110,000. The high amount breaks the show's record for a single day cash winning. The previous record was $77,000. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
The Masters begin in Augusta, Georgia on Thursday, and many people will be rooting for Tiger Woods, who's seeking his first Masters win since 2005. I had a chance to sit down and chat with sports columnist